Empire Lines uncovers the unexpected, often two-way, flows of empires through art. Interdisciplinary thinkers use individual artworks as artifacts of imperial exchange, revealing the how and why of the monolith empire. In this episode, Ayşe Hüseyin plays out tropes of Ottoman Turks in English Orientalist theatre. In two 17th century productions of the tragedy of Mustafa.
In 16th century Turkey, a group of eunuchs mourn for the dying Prince Mustafa. Weeping and sobbing, they are filled with remorse for their actions, forced to murder him by the Ottoman Sultan Solomon. They pray for him in haste to be an angel as the dying prince recites a prayer with a surprisingly Christian twist. O Father, now forgive me. Forgive them too that wrought my overthrow. Let my grave never minister offences. For since my father coveteth my death, behold, with joy I offer him my breath. Stranger than fiction, this true story comes from the final years of the Ottoman Sultan Solomon's reign, as he orders the murder of his eldest son and heir to the throne, Prince Mustafa. Set in Buda, now the capital of Hungary, the Mustafa story captures the political turmoil of succession and sibling rivalries that marred the imperial Ottoman court. But despite this central European setting, Mustafa's story was first and most fully dramatised in two English dramatic productions by the playwrights Fulk Greville and Roger Boyle in 1609 and 1665 respectively. 500 years after the Crusades, the legacies of these medieval religious conflicts between Christians and Muslims played out again on stage. Ottoman Turks, as Muslims, were often portrayed as barbaric figures, compared to the rampaging Goths, Vandals, and Lombards who were blamed for the destruction of ancient Rome. On the early modern London stages, the Turks' sensuous appetites were connected with political tyranny. Popular plays like Lust's Dominion, The Fair Maid of the West, and The Renegado featured Eastern rulers like Eleazar, Mulisheg, and Asanbeg. These characters all contribute to, or cause, the downfall of European monarchs by persuading them to embrace a lustful behaviour, thus becoming unfit rulers in the eyes of their subjects. But beyond these crude stereotypes, the Mustafa story speaks to England's fascination with the Ottoman Turks and their expanding empire, and how interest in Islamic culture and customs increased through trade in the late 16th and early 17th centuries. Greville and Boyle penned their plays as the Ottoman Empire took a more active role on the Central European stage. In 1526, the Ottoman imperial forces, led by Sultan Solomon I, defeated Hungary's King Louis II at the Battle of Mohács. The fallen king died shortly afterwards without a legitimate son, sending the kingdom into political chaos with two potential contenders for the throne, Janos Szapolai and Ferdinand Habsburg, the brother-in-law of Louis II. After a brief but lethal civil war, Ferdinand eventually took the throne. Further destruction followed in 1536, when Sultan Solomon waged a mass-scale military attack and conquered Hungary. By 1541, Solomon had captured Buda and other areas in the heart of the kingdom, leaving only northern and western Hungary to be ruled by Ferdinand I. The Ottomans' imperial dominance of Hungary wouldn't end for another 145 years, until the Battle of St. Gotthard in 1664. This context of succession crises and imperial expansion provides the real-life setting for the Mustafa story. Fearing a similar succession crisis to that he has witnessed in Hungary in 1553, Solomon ordered the death of his own son, Prince Mustafa. He was heavily influenced by his false viziers and his wife Roxolana, the mother of his stepson Zanger. Roxolana believed that Mustafa's presence would prevent her son becoming sultan upon Solomon's death. Roger Boyle's Mustafa was also a response to political problems of succession closer to home. It was performed 5 years after the English King Charles II was restored to the throne in 1660, ousting Oliver Cromwell and the interregnum period. Charles was anxious to avoid the regicide of his father's reign. Boyle's Mustafa thus represents Charles I, the martyr, who was murdered by the usurpers of the English crown. His Solomon, on the other hand, represents Charles II, well-loved for his free and fun-loving spirit. Like Solomon, he possessed flaws which would cause the collapse of both his family and political dynasty. By the mid-1660s, Boyle's play came as a warning, a nod to Charles II's lack of an heir following a childless marriage and three miscarriages with Catherine of Braganza. Boyle's Turkish Tragedy is thus an elaborate political allegory of Restoration England, and one which closes the chasm between English audiences and their Ottoman Turkish counterparts. Really existing prejudices were echoed in English Orientalist dramas, with Turks stereotyped as lustful, violent, and politically corrupt. Indeed, the adjective lustful, in all its variants and spellings, is attributed to the word Turk in over 40 plays published during the years 1600 to 1670. But the Mustafa story offered a more nuanced, humanistic view of Ottomans to English audiences. Written in 1603, Richard Knowles's The General History of the Turks was a key source for Greville's Turkish Tragedy. Knowles adds the term vigilancy to the listed qualities of the Ottomans and discusses how courageous they have been throughout history. Knowles's history was one of the very few accounts of its kind. Although it did draw upon the violence, it still made explicit the political successes of the Ottoman Empire, rather than choosing to solely demonise its subjects alone. Similarly, Greville's Mustafa celebrates the Ottomans' meritocratic society, posing a direct challenge to the ruling class system in England, a hierarchy supposedly ordained by a Christian god. By outlining their political differences, Greville stages a binary between passive or peaceful English Christians and active or violent Ottoman Muslims. But these cultural and religious boundaries are very often blurred. Take the final scene of Greville's Turkish Tragedy, which consists of 15 lines spoken by Mustafa's younger half-brother Zanger. Mustafa's "O Father, now forgive me" speech takes the form of his final words. But they are also a call to reform the Turkish state and the church in a quasi-Christian fashion. In this sense, his death completes the dismantling of the Turkish system of succession to the Sultanate. Mustafa's words almost resonate with martyrdom, the invocation "Father," a reference to both Solomon and God. Such values refer to the issue of succession and the importance of the maintenance of the royal bloodline, most often associated with Christian English monarchies. It could be argued that the murder of Mustafa, ordered by Solomon and carried out by the mutes, is not dissimilar to that of the regicide of the English king Charles I. Greville thus blends Muslim Ottoman and Christian English cultural references, reinforcing the play's relevance in Restoration England. Much like Greville's male Muslim Turks, Boyle portrays the princes with a humanising touch. He portrays them as victims of an outdated political system, in which the right of succession belongs to the son who can prove themselves most politically and militarily proficient. Until the start of the 17th century, Turkish law stated that when a new sultan ascended the throne, it was his obligation to murder his brothers, younger or older, to avoid the potential for usurpation. In the face of these problems, Mustafa and Zanger pride themselves on their brotherly affection. Much of the play's action thus centres around the two princes refusing to comply with these violent laws, rather than the typical histories of conflict between the Hungarian Christians and the Turkish Muslims. Mustafa promises Zanger that when he ascends the throne, he will abolish this law because of the kinship he possesses towards his stepbrother. The positive relationship between the two princes counteracts their political rivalry, but it does not strictly challenge the Ottoman justice system as it existed under Sultan Solomon's reign. This is clearly seen when Zanger tells Mustafa, "Our secret sympathy your fate secures. If bad, my breast would feel it as soon as yours. And since you but bequeath a legacy, which cannot be possessed before you die, you safely give what I shall ne'er receive, because I cannot Mustafa outlive." Boyle links the imperial body politic to the prince's physical being. In other words, the political responsibilities they share as Ottoman princes and the kinship that they share as brothers. Their affection is emotional and familial, and neither can justly die before the other. Their brotherly bond stands up against the brutal demands of empire, but ultimately loses out. Both Greville and Boyle Soliman is a complex character, a valorous ruler and affectionate lover, but also naive, weak, and easily manipulated by his false advisors and his wife, Roxolana. When the Ottoman vizier Rustan hears that Roxolana is more politically influential than himself, he manipulates her against Mustafa. It is he that suggests to Soliman that Mustafa will organise a public revolt against him, as well as attempt to usurp him. Unlike his son and stepson, Soliman abandons all paternal sentiment. Standing before his deceased sons in the play's finale, he still only partially acknowledges his own miscalculations in ordering their deaths. Instead, he blames Roxolana, whose life he does ultimately spare. In Boyle's production, Soliman divorces and exiles Roxolana from his court, in part to prove how women are not capable of moderating their passion. In this case, not sexual passion, but Roxolana's passion for her son Zanger to become the Sultan. The monarch must assert his authority, even in love. Boyle's solution to the contemporary crisis at court, that is, the mistresses, is forthright and clear. To remove those women who attempt political intervention so that they, once again, become mere ornaments of power by remaining devoted to their husbands and supporting the political agenda of the male. Many English dramatists included things like face veils in their costumes, sparking curiosity, identification, condemnation, as well as envy. Scholars such as Bernadette Andrea situate the Mustafa story as a kind of feminist Orientalism, one which equated patriarchal oppression with Oriental Mahometan societies, a trope that would later be used to justify British imperial expansion in other Muslim territories. Although Roxolana was no longer recognised by the Ottomans as Sultana after her banishment, she often reappeared on the early modern English stage as both an influential and a threatening force of feminine appeal. In this respect, plays like Mustafa tackled the double standard where women pay dearly for their gullibility or assertive sexuality, while men remain in or rise to positions of power. Although Roxolana is punished in both productions, it is clear that she not only took over Solomon's heart, but also his empire when she became his political advisor and remained a social and political paradigm in productions beyond. Solomon's woeful final monologue opened a space for more culturally sensitive portrayals of Ottomans in English drama, but it also opened new opportunities in the minds of his audiences around the prospects for Anglo-Ottoman diplomacy. Prior to productions like Mustafa, early modern English audiences would mostly encounter the Ottoman Empire through trade. Rumours about ruthless merchants and North African pirates encountered on voyages circulated back home, furthering watchful mistrust towards Muslims. Unlike other territories, England could never possess the Ottoman Empire and only had hope to watch and guard against it. Weaknesses in the Ottoman Empire exposed by the Mustafa story challenged this view of monolithic Muslim power, making Turkish people and events more relatable in England. Solomon's decision to sentence Mustafa to death is based on a fear of public revolt, but the Sultan's actions cause anger in the Ottoman army, who wage a mutiny against him in defence of Mustafa. Boyle's Ottoman Empire is only safe when its leaders are both politically and emotionally stable. Solomon, in line with stereotypical representations of the Turk, cannot fully possess this type of emotional sentimentality. Yet Mustafa can, and it is this humanisation that wins him the support of the Ottoman subjects. In the final act of Greville's production, Mustafa obediently presents himself as if he were guilty. This compliance is a final act of respect towards his father, who is convinced that his filicidal actions are in accordance with Ottoman law. He carries the weight of political duty, conscious of the expectations of his people not to allow an ineffective ruler to succeed him. Solomon's killing of Mustafa is not driven by violent impulse, but it is driven by the Sultan's fears. It is thus justice, as Solomon believes, as opposed to cruelty, that murders Mustafa in the end. Both Greville and Boyle's plays blur the distinction between the virtuous Christian and the villainous Muslim on the imperial stage. Mustafa's death symbolises the disastrous consequences that occur when a ruler forces their actions to align with or to conform to the expectations of the stereotyped violent Turk. As such, these productions invite us to reconsider what being a successful imperial ruler means and the enduring costs incurred in doing so. Human questions, which apply to Christians and Muslims, English and Turkish peoples alike.
Empire Lines is produced by Yelena Sofroniewicz. For more episodes, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.